Begin the current Daf Masechta Gittin Daf Chav Gimel. Begin on the bottom line of Daf Chav Beis Mabeis, where the Gemara begins the discussion of the previous Mishnah, where the Mishnah said that everyone is kosher to write a get, even, said the Mishnah, a cher shayt v'katan, someone that's deaf-mute, mentally deranged, and a minor, which the Gemara asks the obvious question, v'halav b'nei deyinu, these three individuals are not considered that they have the requisite amount of intelligence. Now, the problem with that is hence, they don't know how to write the get, lishma, for the sake of this woman. And it's one of the primary components we know where it says, v'chasav law, that you have to write the get, lishma, for the sake of the woman. So how does the Mishnah tell us that everyone can write the get, even the cher shayt v'katan? So that, the Gemara has three different approaches. Rav Huna says, as we continue, Tabachov Gimel Med Aleph, says, v'hu shahaya gadol oymid al gabav. The case that we're discussing is where when the child or the mentally deranged person is writing the get, there's an adult standing over him saying, write this for that man and for that woman. Now, as Rashi explains, Rav Huna holds that our Mishnah is going like the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, which this is actually part of the Chiddush, where he holds that actually the writing of the text of the get has to be written Lishma. Now, Rashi points out two things. If the Mishnah is going like Rav Huna is explaining it, like Rabbi Lazar, and that's why you need it to be written Lishma, and hence, how do you have that by a minor, for like one of those three cases, is because you have the adult standing over him saying, write it for this, and the minor or the mentally deranged person doesn't know any better than the one that's telling him, that will then, he'll then do it for what the adult is telling him, that will make it Ksibul Hashma. But if that's the case, Rashi says, first of all, that must mean that the end of the Mishnah, which says these words, She'ein Kim HaGet Ela B'Chesamav, the reason why it's valid for these individuals to write the get, is because the validation of a get is only with its signatures. Actually, that has to mean the Ede Mesira, because we're actually going like Rabbi Lazar, that it's not the witnesses that are signed in the get that are karti, that create the definition of the get. That's actually the opinion of Rabbi Meir. We're going like Rabbi Lazar, who holds that the witnesses that create the get are the witnesses that witness it being given over from the husband to the wife. Now, the reason why it's being called Enkim Aged El Bechisamv is because generally the witnesses that were the ones that were used as the Mesira were the same ones that signed it in the document itself. That's one point Rashi says. Moreover, you have to say that qualifying statement that the Mishnah ends off with, of She'enkim Aged El Bechisamv, is only going back on the middle case of the Mishnah, which is the case of that the woman herself could write her own get, meaning to say she could have it authored, she could pay for it, and then give it over to the husband, who then gives it over to her. And it's not going back on the reisha, on the case that we're discussing, to say why it's kosher for the get to be written with a cher shayt v'katan, because that wouldn't, it's not really qualifying that they're allowed to write it. Actually, the part of the get is not just with its ede misira. An important ingredient is the writing itself. The ksiva has to be lishma. That qualification of Enkim Aged El Bechisamav, which again we're explaining really means the Eid Mesira, it's just that the Eid Mesira generally signed in it, is a reason why the woman herself could have it authored, although the husband has to be because of law, he has to write it for her. That's what we explained in the previous stuff. She has it written up, then she gives it to him, and then he has it and signs on it, and then it's considered like because of law, because that's the primary importance, is when the Eid Mesira when it's being given over, that's when it has to be his and not hers, because he has to have a chasa benasin, he has to write it and give it to her. That's why she could have it written up, and it's not a disqualification of a chasa benasin. Again, those are two important things, just how to learn up the Mishnah. But again, for the significance of what the Gemara's question was, that it was asked, but they're not b'nei deyin, and it says, Rav Huna, you're right, it should be a problem, because the writing of the text, when it says in the Torah, b'chasav, according to Rabbi Lazar, is the writing of the text itself. That has to be written Lishma. But it is written Lishma. How so? Because you have an adult standing over them saying, write it for this person. And although they don't have their own das, but they could interject, they could take from the das of the adult and write it accordingly. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman asks on this interpretation of Rav Huna. Elamiat, if that's the case, well then, let's say, Oivet Kechav, ask Rav Nachman, let's say you have a non-Jew, who he's writing the text that he gets. And you have a Jew that's an adult standing over him, telling him what to write it for. Seemingly, the way you're explaining it, that even people that are essentially disqualified because they don't have their own das and they can't write a lishma, but with an adult, a Jewish adult standing over them, it's kosher. So the same thing seemingly, according to what you're saying, should apply even with a non-Jew. Now, says Rav Nachman, Bechitim HaChinam, and if you would entertain to say that, yes, seemingly the same thing would apply, just like Chershed V'Katan, so too for a non-Jew, but Vatan, you learn the Brisa not like that. The Brisa says, Eivet Kichavim Pasul, a non-Jew who writes to get, is possible. But why? Just like our Mishnah says, Chershed V'Katan is kosher, because God L'Emir Al-Gabav, why don't you say the same thing for a non-Jew? So that the Gemara answers, that's not difficult, according to Rav Huna. Because Eivet Kichavim L'Daite De Navshi Avid. A non-Jew does things the way he wants to. In other words, because the non-Jew is an adult. He has das, he has his own intelligence. Now, even though that he has a Jewish adult standing over him when he's writing the get saying, do it for that and that person, maybe he's going to think, I don't care what the Jew is telling me. I'll write it for whoever I want to. Now, in contrast to a minor or a cheresh or a shaita, where he doesn't have his own das, whatever people tell him, that's what he's going to do. So if they're telling him to write it for that woman, he's going to be writing it for that woman. That's why it qualifies by Chereshayt V'Katan with a Gadol Emel Gabav, but by non-Jew, even Gadol Emel Gabav, that wouldn't qualify with Halacha of Lishma. So that was an interpretation of Rav Huna. Says the Gemara, Hada Amr Rav Nachman. Now, Rav Nachman later retracted, although he had asked a question going one way, later he retracted and he says, Lav Milsahida Amri. What I had said previously is incorrect. Meaning the question I had asked on Rav Huna was, Elameata, based on your interpretation, oh, then Oivik Kachav Miyasol Emagabav, he asked, then if you have a non-Jew, with a Jew standing over him, where I was saying, based on your interpretation, it should be kosher, and yet we know that it's pasul, and therefore, the Chershayt V'Katan, according to your interpretation, shows to be pasul, which the Gemara gave an answer for. Now Rav Nachman is actually retracting, he's saying, I'm going actually the other direction. No, not only that I was asking that it's possible by a non-Jew, it should be possible by the Chershed V'Katan. Actually, it's kosher by a non-Jew. And you know what? Not only is it kosher by a non-Jew, not only when a Jew is standing over him, even if a Jew is not standing over him. Moreover, says Rav Nachman, I'm going so much more the other way, is that by Chershed V'Katan, I disagree with Rav Huna, and even if there's no adult standing over the Chershed V'Katan, it's still going to be kosher. How so? Because, says Rav Nachman, the Mishnah is going like Reb Meir, which seemingly would be the more simple interpretation, that you don't need the writing to be written Lishma. Why not? Doesn't the Torah say, V'chasav law, that you write to get far, which means Lishma? That's because Reb Meir's interpretation on the word V'chasav doesn't mean the writing of the text of the get. It means the writing of the signatures of the witnesses, that their signing has to be Lishma for that woman. Now, therefore, as Rav Nachman explains, he says, I'll prove it to you that what I'm trying to say now is the correct interpretation, not like Rav Huna. And the Mishnah is not like going like Rav Elazar the way he had said it, but rather like Reb Meir. The reason being is because the coming Mishnah, which the Rashi calls the Seif of the Mishnah, sometimes there is different Mishnahs that are considered from one corpus of Mishnah. Now, from the fact that the coming Mishnah invalidates a non-Jew, Le'inyin hava, regarding bringing the get. Now the reason for that is because he's not in the halachic category of getin kedushin. He doesn't have kedushin with his non-Jewish wife, and he doesn't have gerushin. Now, therefore, a person cannot become a shliach, an agent for something that he himself is not in that halachic framework itself. Now, so we see that regarding bringing a get, it delineates and says that a non-Jew is puzzle is not valid. Now, regarding, however, our mission that talks about writing the get doesn't make any mention about the non-Jew not being valid. Oh, from that you can infer that mechlal del inin kesiva kosher, that obviously that only regarding bringing the get he's puzzle, but regarding writing the get he's kosher. Now, what's the reason? That's what the mission itself, again, now the interpretation changes from what we had said according to Rav Huna in the Mishnah, that the last line which qualifies She'in ki maget ela b'chesamav, now that we're saying the Mishnah is like Reb Meir, according to the interpretation of Rav Nachman, that last line which says, because you know what validates the get? Is only the signing, which what does that mean? That means to say we don't care what happens with the writing of the text of the get, even if it's written She'loi l'shma. And therefore, the interpretation from the Mishnah is saying that the Chereshayt V'Katan, it's going to be kosher, even without a Gadol Emel Gabav. Oh, they don't have das? Who cares? We don't need to have the ksiva to be written Lishma. The kiyum of the get, what validates it, what has to be written, what has to be done lishma, is only the chesima. Now, the reason being how this is proved is because if you would say that, oh no, what's called tana b'shaya, we didn't mention everything in the Mishnah, but could be a non-Jew would be invalid, well then why didn't leave out the same case of Akum in the next Mishnah about bringing? There it mentions it, and here it doesn't. What's called v'halei davaru, seemingly that the discrepancy tells us only regarding the bringing he's invalid because he's just not considered halachically a shliach, but regarding writing the get, who cares? Let a non-Jew write it. And even let a cheshed be cut without a gadol emel gabav write it, because it doesn't make a difference. We don't need that there should be das for the one who's writing it. It doesn't have to be written lishma. Only the signing has to be lishma. That's the interpretation of Rav Nachman, not like Rav Huna, who said the Mishnah is like Rav Elazar. If it's like Rav Elazar, then the writing has to be lishma. Therefore, you have to say it's gadol emel gabav. Says Rav Nachman, no. A non-Jew would be kasher. A cheshed be cut of a Mishnah that's kasher. It's even if gadol is not emel gabav. And although it's not being written lishma, it's going like Reb Meir. That doesn't have to be written lishma. It just has to be signed lishma. Now that the question is, but Tani Balut in the Brayis that says, Eved Kichav Mispasel, says clearly that a non-Jew is invalid, but based on the interpretation of Rav Nachman, the halacha should be that a non-Jew should be kosher. That answers the Gemara. Hahi, that Brayis that says, that's Pasel, that's Reb Elazar. You're right, that's going like Reb Elazar. The Amma Eid Misiri Karti that he says that what creates the get is... There's no, in other words, there's no halachic requirements biblically of having witnesses signed in the get itself. Because although there's halach of Edom, that's actually the Edom that witnessed it being given over from the husband to the wife. Therefore, must be according to Reb Elazar, when it says in the Torah of Achasav Lo that he has to write it for her, which means to say it has to be written lishma, is going on the writing of the get, not the writing of the witnesses, because biblically there are no witnesses according to Reb Elazar. Ubi'inon ksiv lishma. And therefore, according to Reb Elazar, you need to have the writing to be done lishma. Now, v'havadai says Rav Nachman. Now, most definitely, when a non-Jew is writing a get, he's not writing it lishma. And the reason being is, as we mentioned before, when a non-Jew does something, he does it for himself. He does it whatever he feels like doing, and that's why the Braisa says it's going to be possible. But it's not a contradiction on Rav Nachman, because yes, our Mishnah is going like Reb Meir. Reb Meir would hold that a non-Jew also would be kosher. The Braisa that says a non-Jew is pasul is going like Reb Elazar, who holds that the writing has to be lishma. And a non-Jew, even if Gadol Omer Gabav, wouldn't help because he does it for himself and there's no way of having a non-Jew write it, according to Reb Elazar, and to be kasher. Now the Gemara continues, Amar of Nachman, that Oymahayir Meir used to say, which again Rashi points out that this is actually a new halacha, and it's logical because it's not coming to say that Rav Nachman, in other words, we already pointed out in the previous interpretation of the Mishnah, that Rav Nachman holds like Reb Meir. Now Rav Nachman is saying an added level of chiddush in Reb Meir's opinion, that he says, afilu motza be'ashba, even if somebody, a husband, finds a get in the garbage with a text written that just happens to have his name and his wife's name from the same city, chas mevenas lakasher, if he then goes and has it signed and then gives it over to the woman, it's going to be kasher. And the reason being is because even though the text of the get wasn't written lishma, doesn't make a difference. As we just explained, according to Reb Meir, there's no necessity for the ksiva to be written lishma. That's why a nakum is kasher, a chereshay to be cut without a gadol emagabav is kasher. Only it needs is that the chesima should be lishma, and then they can give it to the woman. Now, however, on this second interpretation of the halacha of Mishnah, the Gemara says, Eisvei Rav Rav Nachman. Rav asked Rav Nachman, but it says in the Torah, V'chasav lo, that it should be written for our witch, the drasha says in the Braisa, Lishma, it has to be written for her sake. My love asks Rav to Rav Nachman, isn't that what it's Toma Ksivas I get? What does it mean that you have to write it for a Lishma? How can you say, according to Rav Nachman, which is interpretation Reb Meir is, that anyone could write it? But what do you mean? The Torah says it's written lishma. I think more answers, which we have already presupposed in our interpretations. No, chasim ha-seidim. What does Reb Meir hold? The chas of law has to be written lishma. It's the signing of the witnesses in the get, their signatures. When they're signing, it has to be done for the sake. They have to know it's for that woman and not just signing their name. But the writing of the text could be written even shalei lishma. Continues Rava. Eitzvi Rava. Rava asks from the Mishnah, the coming daf on Chavdal Manaf that says, Kol get shenichtav shalei l'shem isha, any get that's not written for the sake of the woman, pasul, it's pasul. You see that the writing of the get has to be l'shem of the woman. How can you say that it doesn't have to be, it can be written by anybody? That answers the Gemara. Say that it means to say, when it says it's not written, it means to say, any get that's not signed for the sake of that woman is going to be possible. But the writing, again, could be even Shalal Lishma. Esvi, a third question. From the following Braisa that says, Kishu Kaisvai, when he writes it, Ki'ilu Kaisvai Lishma. It says, if he wrote Lishma. Now, what it sounds like the Braisa is trying to say is that when he writes part of the get Lishma, it's as if he wrote the entire get Lishma. So obviously you see that the writing of the get needs to be written Lishma. So ask the Gemara, Rava on Rav Nachman, my love, isn't this what the Braisa is saying? What does it mean, part of it you're writing Lishma, and it's as if you wrote the whole thing Lishma? Meaning, there's two parts to the text of the get. When you write the Tayyiv, which is the primary get unique to this man and woman, which it says his name and her name and the place where they live and the date, when you're writing that Lishma, which that's the primary one, then it's like as if you wrote the other generic text for the sake of that woman. And the reason being is because the Tayyiv is the primary one. That's the one that has to be written Lishma. But one thing you see is that the writing, at least of the text, not just the signing of the witnesses, has to be Lishma. And that answers the Gemara, no. Kishu Chaisma Lishma. The interpretation of this Braisa is when it's saying if you do part of it Lishma, it's like the whole thing is Lishma, meaning when you sign it Lishma, because that's the primary one, as we explained according to Reb Meir, is Kilu Chaisma Lishma. It's as if you wrote it for her sake Lishma, but you don't have to write it. In other words, it's as if, because you don't need that, the primary one is the signing of it Lishma. Now, that the Gemara says, those three answers were, the first one was asking from the Pasuk, basically, which we said, that's the Machlekes Remein Rebelazah, what's B'chasav La Lishma, is it on the Ksiva or the Chasima? Then the next two questions were asking from Tanoic sources, which sounded like the writing, and that we interpreted it's the signing. Then the Gemara says, V'Bayisema, or if you want, you can answer from the last two questions, Hanemasnit and Mani, who are these Brises? Rebelazah, it's going like Rebelazah, Dama, Edim Asir Karate, yes, he holds that the writing has to be Lishma, because he doesn't hold there's any biblical signing in the get itself, because the witnesses that are required, which every Devar Ever needs two witnesses, those are the Edim Isira. And therefore, when the Torah says, V'chasavla, must be told by the writing of the text, because there is no signing inside of it, that's who those Tanoic sources are. But that's not going to be a contradiction of Rav Nachman, who's interpreting our mission, like our mayor, who holds that it's Ed Chasima Karati, and therefore the V'chasavla is going on the Chasima, and the writing does not have to be written Lishma. So again, that's why there's no question on the second interpretation of Rav Nachman. Now the Gemara moves on to a third interpretation to the halacha of the Mishnah. So far we had Rav Huna, who said the Mishnah is like Rav Elazar, and the Ksiva has to be written Lishma, so how's the Kasha Chereshayit V'Katan who have no das to write Lishma? So my God L'Omen Al Gabav. And what about a non-Jew who's puzzled? Oh, that's because he does it for himself. Then we had Rav Nachman's interpretation who said, no, actually, it's Kasher even without God L'Omen Al Gabav. And our Mishnah would hold even a non-Jew would be Kasher. So what's, and the reason why it's going to be kosher is because it's going like Remeir. Remeir holds that you don't have to have the writing Lishma, only the Chasim has the Mishnah end, She'en Kima Gerel Bechesamav, which according to Rav Nachman is going on the whole entire Mishnah, that it doesn't have to be written Lishma, only the signing has to be Lishma. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda Amar Shmuel says a third interpretation. Actually, the halacha that permits the Cher Shayt V'Katan to write the Gad is Toma V'Hu Sheshayr. This is only if the Cher Shayt V'Katan left over in the writing of the text, Mokum HaTayrf, the primary unique part of the get, which actually, who's going to write the Tayrf part, is going to be a bendas, someone that is a mentally competent, a Jewish adult. And therefore, what comes out according to Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, you don't have to have what would be more contrived, like the interpretation of Rav Huna, that it's talking about that there's an adult standing over them. Moreover, you don't have to say like Rav Nachman, that the Mishnah is going like Rav Meir, because actually we pass in halachas like Rav Elazar, so it's more preferable. And therefore, there's no difficulty. Because yes, the taifis, the generic part of the get, that doesn't have to be written Lishma, as long as you have the taif being written Lishma. So therefore, that's what the Mishnah is saying, that Cher Shayt V'Katan could write the get, the taifis part. And that's like Rav Elazar, although the ksiv has to be Lishma, it's on the taif, which a ben das will write that. And so too says the Gemara, V'chinam Reb Chagim Mishmei the Ula, Tzoma V'hu Shashayim Mokam HaTayif, this that we allow. Say it's kosher when the Cher Shayt V'Katan writes it, is as long as he left over the Tayrif part, which has his name, her name, and the date. And Rebbe Elazar is going like Rebbe Elazar. Now, that the Gemara asks, but Rebbe Zireka Om Rebbe Yechanan, he says, Ein a Tayra, says, no, this is not a valid piece of Tayra. In other words, people are not going to listen to you in the interpretation you're giving for the Mishnah. So the Gemara wonders, my Ein a Tayra, what's wrong with this interpretation? So Om Rebbe Abba, he says, because Kan Hoy Diyacha, because actually, it's here in our Mishnah where they teach you that it was downgrading the requirement of the writing of the get, because it's teaching you she'en kayach lishma, that there is no necessity of lishma in the writing of the get, because it's saying, writing the get, cher, shayit, of a cotton who have no das and cannot write lishma, they could write it. Rather, it's telling you that the halacha of lishma is only by the signing. That's what it means when they're saying in the name of Rabbi Yechanan that your interpretation, which is being based on the halacha of Rabbi Lazar, is incorrect, because you can't say the writing has to be lishma, because actually we see from the Mishnah that it's saying no, writing does not have to be lishma, even a chesh had begotten to write it. And it's going like Rabbi Meir, the Amei Eid Masir Karti, who says that the primary the making of the get, which has to be done lishma, are the witnesses that are signed in the get. Now, on that the Gemara asks, and again, it doesn't really contradict Rabbi Yehuda Mishmo's interpretation, but it's just saying that Rabbi Yechanan held that no, the halacha is like Rav Nachman had said, that the halacha is going like Reb Meir, because seemingly it's just making away with the whole writing of the get, seemingly even the Torah part, because it's saying a chesh adbekotin could write it. Now that the Gemara asks, but contradictory, v'amar Rabbi Babachon amar Rabbi Yechanan, he says the name of Rabbi Yechanan, which this was quoted previously in Chaf Alav Mabez regarding the Mishnah that says, in Kaysim ben Mechubri, you're not allowed to write a get that's still attached, let's say a leaf that's attached to the ground, which the Mishnah said that b'diavad is going to be kosher, but it was interpreted that it's only by the taifis part, but as long as the turf part was disconnected, then it's going to be kosher, which that Rabbi Yechanan was saying is Rabbi Lazar. He, that's like Rabbi Lazar, who says that the ksiva has to be written and v'chasav, and then v'nasan, that shouldn't have anything in between, which would mean kitzitzav, tearing off the leaf, is the ksiva is on the writing of the get, which that's not the taifas, as long as the taif. But seemingly we see Rabbi Yechanan holds the interpretation of our Mishnah should be like Rabbi Lazar, as he says on Chaf Alva Mabez. Yet here we're saying that, of Rabbi Zeik in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that no, that from our Mishnah we see clearly that ksiva does not have to be lishma. That's not v'chasav law. The v'chasav law is on the ksima. So which one does Rabbi Yechanan hold like? Rabbi Lazar, as we see on Chaf Alva Mabez, or like Reb Meir, as we see in our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Amayron, and it's a machlekes Amayron between Rabbi Bachan and Chaf Alva Mabez, and Rabbi Zveika over here, Balib Rabbi Yechanan, they're both arguing the interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Bachan says that Rabbi Yechanan holds like Rabbi Lazar, and that's why he interprets when it says B'diabit's going to be kosher on that Mishnah about Mechuber has to be that it was detached before the Torah was written, because it's going like Rabbi Lazar, B'chasav is going on the writing of the Ket. But Rabbi Zveika is going, that holds like Rabbi Yechanan, holds like Reb Meir, and that's why he said from our Mishnah we see not like the interpretations that hold is going like Rabbi Lazar, but rather like the way Rav Nachman said it, that the Mishnah is like Reb Meir, because the writing of the Get does not have to be Lishma, it's only the Chasima, like Reb Meir, that has to be written Lishma. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, we spoke about who's kosher to write the Get. Now the Mishnah says, HaKol K'sherin Lehevi Esaget, moves on to the delivery. Everyone's kosher, everyone's valid to bring a get from the husband to the woman as an agent. Chutz, except mecher shayt b'katan, except for a deaf mute, a mentally deranged a person and a minor, the suma and the blind person, v'oibik achavim and a non-Jewish. The Gemara will explain the reasoning why all these individuals are invalid as being a shliach of bringing the get from the husband to the wife. Now, says the Mishnah, kibil ha-katan. Let's say the minor received the get from the husband to deliver it to the wife. Behigdil, and before he went and gave it to her, he became an adult. Let's say he's about to have his bar mitzvah. And then he got it. It's a journey of, let's say, 10 days. And during those 10 days, he became an adult. Or let's say, cheresh v'nis pakeach. Let's say when he received it to be the agent, he was a deaf mute. And then before he got to the woman, he became healed. Or suma v'nit pateach. Or let's say he was blind. And then he was able to see by the time he got to the woman. Or shayte v'nishtapa. Or he was mentally deranged, and then they became sane by the time he reached her. Or evikachav minisgayer, or he was a non-Jew when he got it, and then by the time he got to the woman, he was already converted. Either way, in all these cases, says the Mishnah, pasul, it was pasul, because at the time when he was made the agent, he was invalid, so even though by the time he delivered it, he was okay, it's going to be invalid. Aval, however, says the Mishnah, pikeach v'nischarish v'chazav nispakeach. Let's say he had all his faculties when he got it. Then during the journey, he became a deaf mute. Then by the time he got there, he was back to his full capacity again. Or, patuach v'nistami v'chazam v'nitz pateach. Or he was able to see. During the journey, he became blind. By the time he got there, he was able to see again. Or shofa v'nishtate v'choza v'nishtapa. Or he was totally sane. During the journey, he became mentally deranged. Then became totally sane by the time he got there. Says the Mishnah, kasha, that case will be kasha. So the Mishnah summarizes this by saying, Zehaklav, this is the general rule. Kasha t'chilasei b'seifei b'das kasha. As long as in the beginning, when he became the agent, and at the end, when he went and he executed that delivery by giving it to the woman, he had total intellect, he was fully there, then it's going to be kasher, and therefore, although in the middle he had some type of a problem, which would have invalidated him from being a shliach, that's not a problem, because as long as tchilin and v'seif was good, that's why it's kasher versus the previous cases, which he started off bad, even though by the end he was good, that's not going to be valid. Now the Gemara explains regarding those individuals, why they're considered not able to be a shliach for a get. So the Gemara says, "Bishle mecher shevikaton." We understand regarding the deaf mute, the mentally deranged, and the minor. The lav b'nei deinenu, as we mentioned before, they're not people of intelligence. Now the problem is regarding shlichus by agency of having someone to be an extension of you to do something that you need to do. We require to have an ish, which would exclude a minor, and all those who don't have das. Because they're not considered a fully functioning ish, because the point is, it says by shlichus, where do we know that an agent could work as the person itself? As the Gemara says, Maseches Kedushin Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, says v'yikru lahem ish sel lebeis avos, that they will take for each one a lamb for every household by the Korban Pesach, which we know that not everyone's going to be doing that. One person's going to take for everybody, and it's saying that they're all going to be doing it. Obviously, we see that the shliach who's doing it for them is as if they themselves did it. But it says the word over there, ish. So we see it has to be ish, which excludes a minor and all those like him who are not b'nei dein and who's not a full-functioning ish. So okay, they're not able to be shliach, which is what's required by b'nasan law. He has to consider it as if he's giving a tar. So an agent has to be like he's doing it, which is from the halach of shlichus. That would exclude those three individuals. So do we understand why a non-Jew would be invalid? Because the lav bar hateruhu. He's not someone that's permitted in this halacha itself. In other words, the halacha of Kiddushin and Gittin do not apply to a non-Jew because he's a non-Jew and it doesn't have the halacha as a Jewish person to have Kiddushin of giving a ring and Gerushin of giving a get. Now therefore, something that he himself is not applicable to, so therefore he can't go ahead and be an agent for someone else in that same arena itself because he's not able to execute that. He's not someone that could do that. So I can't be someone else's agent for what I myself cannot do. But Ella summa my law. But the Gemara's question is, why would a blind person not be a valid shliach for the husband to deliver the get? So that Amrav Sheshes, he says, Lafisha in Yedah, because he doesn't know. He doesn't know who he's taking from, who he's giving to. Which, as Tesa explains, where although generally the halacha is that someone that he could recognize from, he doesn't know either for sure who he's taking from. But the thing is that a blind person, we have to really suspect that he's being duped and being fooled because he doesn't know anything. So therefore, he can't be a shlech because who'd you get the get from? I don't know, I can't see. So therefore, that's not valid. He might not be having had this get from the husband, might have been someone else, and he's giving it to a woman, doesn't know who he's giving it to. So therefore, a stuma is not a valid shlech. Now, that maskev of Rav Yisav asks on Rav Sheshes' interpretation. He says, I don't understand. Heich stuma muta be'ishtei. How exactly is a blind person permitted to be intimate with his wife? How do you know she's your wife? You might be with an Eishes Ish. Moreover, how are people permitted to be intimate with their wives at nighttime? You can't see. It's dark. It might be someone else. Rather, it's the recognition of sound. Because even though you can't see, you can know, you can have other senses that can tell you that this is that person. So here also by a blind person, which actually is more sensitive in his hearing, he could recognize, he can know who was it. He knows who that person is, even though he can't see. So why should that be an invalidating factor of being a shliach begitten? So El Amar Rav Yisav, rather Rav Yisav gives a different interpretation why a blind person is invalid. Because Hacha b'chutz la'aretz askinan. Here in our Mishnah, what we're discussing is regarding the shluchim to bring the get. We're talking about that they're coming from outside of Eretz Yisrael. The boy lemeim b'fani nachta b'fani nachem, as we said in the first mission of this Masechta, when you're a shliach lahilacha from out of Eretz Yisrael, you have to say, in front of me was written, in front of me was signed. The blind person can't say that in front of me was written, in front of me was signed, because the whole point is to say that he saw what was happening, and he can't say that because he can't see, and therefore, that's why a blind person is going to be invalid. Now, on that, Omle Abaye asked Rav Yosef El Mayata, but if that's the case, then Petuach V'Nistame, then if the reason why you're disqualifying him is not because of any intrinsic disqualification, it's just because he wasn't able to see when it was being written. Hence he can't say b'fanachtam. Well then if that's the case, well then take a person that was able to see. Then during the journey bring it to the woman, he became blind, the matziyama, where he could say b'fanachtam, because at that point in time he was able to see it being written and signed in front of him because he was able to see. Hachanami de kasher, according to your interpretation, such a person should be kasher to deliver the get. But v'aktani will it not Mishnah as follows. The Mishnah said, patuach v'nistame b'chazib v'nit pateach kasher. It says, if he was able to see, then during the journey he became blind. Then at the end when he's coming to deliver to the woman, maybe he was able to see, then it's kasher. Now the inference is, chazav benit pateach in, it's only if at the end he became back seeing, then it's valid. Chazav benit pateach lo, but if at the end he wasn't able to see, then not. But why? According to you, there's nothing wrong with a blind person as an agent for delivery. The whole problem is because you said he can't say b'fanei nechtav. But if he was able to see in the beginning, even if he's blind at the end, he should be able to see b'fanei nechtav. So why does the Mishnah make it sound like only if he was able to see at the end by the delivery is he kasha? So that the Gemara answers, actually, it's not a difficulty on Rav Yosef. Hu adin, the same thing would apply to afagav de lechazav net pateach, that you're right, a blind person who was able to see, then became blind, truth is he would be able to be valid shliach, even if at the end he wasn't able to see when he was delivering it to the woman. Now, v'aydi diktani, shafle v'nishtate, v'chazav v'nishtape, it's only once it had to say regarding one of the other cases, about someone that was sane, became mentally deranged, and then became sane again, where there it's time of the chazav v'nishtape, there it's only because at the end he came back, and he was sane again. Now, holei chazav v'nishtape loy, but if he didn't become back sane again, then it wouldn't be kasher, and the reason being is because the invalidation of someone that's a shaita is because he doesn't have das. Now the thing is, he has to be a ben das both when he becomes the agent and both when he's executing the agency, which is when he's giving over to the woman. So he has to be chazav v'nishtapa. So tananami patuach v'nistami v'chazav v'nitpatech. That's why it also said regarding all the cases it kept that similar pattern of good, not good, and good. But truth is, by the blind person, although it says seeing, not seeing, and seeing, it's only because it's keeping the pattern of the other cases which are intrinsically invalidating regarding their shlichus, which is, let's say, by the case of shaita, which has no das, that's why it said the same pattern by the blind person. The truth is, it doesn't have to. You're right, it could be seeing and not seeing and could still give it, because then they could say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. Now, Omer Vashi, Rashi says, actually, although it sounds like maybe what's called a deichik teretz, a little contrived, he says, actually, no, deikinami. It seems to be precise from a Mishnah that regarding the one that was able to see and then became blind, that it's not necessarily that it has to be that at the end of it he was able to see again. Because the Ketani learned in the Mishnah, where it summed it up, it said, Zehaklal, this is the rule, kol shetchilasa v'seva bedas kasha, wherever he starts off and he ends off with intellect, even though in the middle, let's say, he became without das, it's going to be kasha. Now, v'loi Ketani, and it doesn't say a more encompassing statement of kol shetchilasa v'seva bekasher's kasha. It doesn't say, as long as he started off okay and ended off okay, then it's going to be kasher. Shema Minoah, what we'd infer from there is obviously that it's only when the reasoning is because of das, where it's regarding intellect, that's where you need him to be having das in the beginning and at the end. But a blind person, the reason why he's invalid is not because of das. There it's only because of his ability to say b'fanei nechtam, that you don't need to have for him to be able to see the beginning and the end, only in the beginning, so that he should be able to say b'fanei nechtam. And the reason being is because if by Suma, by the blind person, it was dafke, it was precisely as it said, that it was patuach, v'nistame, v'chazim, v'nitpateach, then it should have said a terminology when it says Zayaklal that would have encompassed the blind person too, not just the case of Shaita regarding Das. It would have said Kosha Tchilasa V'Seva B'Kashas. From the fact that it doesn't say that, obviously it's because you're right. Regarding that halacha, it's not necessarily that it has to be Chazav in the Patech. It's only regarding the case of Das, of the Shaita, that has to be also Seifer B'Das. Now the Gemara continues and says, "Boyimineimirabami." They ask from Ami the following question. Again, we're discussing here who could be a shliach to bring the get, and we just explained what's the reasoning of suma, so we know why the individuals in the Mishnah are not considered kasher. Now the Gemara moves on to a different type of a case, wondering if it qualifies to be a shliach. So they asked Rabami, "Eved mahu sheyasa shliach? What's the halacha regarding a slave to be an agent for a woman?" In other words, not the woman's own Eved. We're talking about a slave of another person. Can he be an agent, say, "Hey, Mr. Eved, come here. I want you to be a shliach for this woman." L'kabel get isha miyad baila. Is he valid to receive the get for a woman from a husband? And then when he receives it, for the woman to be divorced, like what's called a shliach l'kabbalah, which actually Rashi points out the question would be the same thing as we're discussing in our Mishnah, a shliach l'halacha, which is an agent sent by the husband, not an agent as it's being posed over here as to receive it from the woman's side, because essentially Rashi says the same halacha, shliach l'halacha, shliach l'kabbalah, it's just that he says that this is the way it was asked in the Beis Medrash. For some reason, whoever was asking the question asked it, could an eved of a different person, could he just be, say, okay, you be the shliach to receive this for the woman, when you get it, it's like you're the agent of the woman, and then she'll be divorced. So in other words, although we have cases in the Mishnah that say our puzzle, we want to know what's the halacha with Eved. So Amalahu, so Rabami said to them, look, from the fact that our Mishnah says that regarding who is not allowed to bring a get, who can't be a shliach by get, it says a non-Jew, and it doesn't say an Eved, it doesn't say that a slave is not kosher. So now we continue on Talmud Beis. Machlal, the inference is, the Eved kasher, that the Eved would be kasher as an agent for Gittin. And therefore, as Rashi points out, just like he'd be kasher to bring the get to the woman, he would also be kasher to receive the get that the woman would be divorced from the moment that when he receives it. Because again, as Rashi says, there's no difference between a shlich l'alacha, shlich l'kabbalah. And the reason why, because a non-Jew is definitely lesser than a slave, because a slave at least has the mitzvahs as a woman. He has a very much status as a Jew. So if he would be pasul, it would have said the Eved. It only says a non-Jew must be, an akum is non-kosher, but an Eved is kosher to be a shliach by Gittin. However, Amr Vasi Amr Bi'echnan, he disagrees. Says, "Ein ha-Eved nasa shliach l'kabel get l'ishem yad baila." An Eved, a slave, is not valid to receive a get for a woman from her husband. In other words, he can't be a shliach by Gittin. Because he doesn't qualify in the halachas, which is a similar svar we said by the akum, by the non-Jew, same thing applies by the Eved. He doesn't have kiddushin like a full-fledged Jew, neither does he have the halachas of Gittin, and since he doesn't, so he can't be a shliach for that halacha. Now, Tosfos just points out one thing, although the Gemara told us on Chaf Alf and Alf that a woman could be divorced if the husband gives the get to her Eved, that's not working as shliches, and that's why we pointed out that the Gemara's question over here was by someone else's Eved, because when it's her Eved, it actually works on a different halachic framework, that of chatzar. Meaning, since she owns the Eved, it's like her courtyard, it's like one of her property, of her estate, and therefore when it goes into her Eved's domain, it's like it's going into her domain, and that's why she's divorced. But as a shliach, an Eved cannot be a shliach, according to Rabbi Yechanan. Now, Maskev Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar asks on this interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan, which is not on the halacha per se, but in the way he defines it. That is, he said that an Eved is not kosher to be a shliach. Why not? Because it doesn't qualify for the halachas of Gittin and Kedushin. So asks Rabbi Elazar, time of B'milsa D'lasa, it sounds like the reason why you said that it's not valid to be a shliach by Gittin is because there's nothing wrong with his shlichus, Shabbai, with his being an agent. It's just that you could only be an agent for something that you apply to, and you don't apply to Gittin Kedushin. Habemilsa de Ise, but the inference is, the way you're making it sound like, but something that an Eved does apply the halachas to him, for example, like Truma, where an Eved is forbidden to eat untithed produce, and actually if he has Tevel, how does he have Tevel? Although an Eved doesn't own anything, would be, let's say, if someone gives him something with the contingency that his master has no domain over it, which then he does own it and doesn't go straight away to his master. So he has to first separate Truma, and his Truma actually has halachic status as Truma. And the reason being is because an Eved, as we said before, has halacha like a woman for all positive, for all mitzvahs. So therefore, it sounds like what you would be saying, that in such a situation where it would be halacha that would apply by the Eved, that then kosher, that then he would be a valid shliach to take off Truma, meaning for a regular Jew. In other words, you're making it sound like as shlichas, as an agent, he could be a shliach for a Jew, but it has to be something that applies to him. Gittin mekudishin don't apply to him, so he can't be a shliach. But let's say something that does apply to him, like truma, where he has to keep the halachas of truma, then he would be able to be a shliach for a Jew. And that asks Rebbe Lazar, but I'll ask you as follows. A non-Jew and a kuti, the isna who betrays truma de nafshai, where they are also in the halachic framework of truma. Now, why is that? How is that? It's not like the Mishnah Masechtas Trumas. The Mishnah says, ha'ayvik kechavim v'akuti shetomer mishalehem. Let's say a non-Jew or a kuti, which has a some type of halachic status like a non-Jew, who has his own field in Eretz Yisrael, and he takes off truma from his produce. The halacha says the Mishnah trumasim truma. They are in the halacha of truma, and actually now their truma is forbidden for zarim, for non-kahanim. Now the reason for this is because the Mishnah there holds that a non-Jew does not have any halachic acquisition of the land of Eretz Yisrael, meaning to remove it from its sanctity of Trumas and Maises. So therefore it still has the halachic status of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it has to have Truma and Maises taken off from it. Now moreover, the halacha is that when a non-Jew is makdish something, which is what the halacha of when you make something Truma, you're making it to Hekdish, it has halacha of Hekdish, as the Gemara learns in Chulin Daf Yud Gimel Beis, where it says ish, which that comes to include not just a Jewish person, but even a non-Jew, who if he's noijim nedarim nedavis, if he makes something Hekdish, it has halacha of Hekdish like a Jew. So therefore we see that a non-Jew is in the halacha of Truma. Yet in spite of that, Utanam learned the Mishnah Masechtas Trumas that tells us, Eivik Echavim Shutar Mishal Yisrael, if a non-Jew goes, and he takes off the truma of a Jew's produce, afila birshus, even with the permission of the Jewish owner, who, in other words, if he makes the non-Jew as an agent, ain't trumasay truma, the truma is not considered truma. Now, asks Rebbe Laza, Mike Timer, what's the reason why it's not truma? Lav mishum, isn't it because the pasuk tells us, kein, because the shlichus of the truma, where dechsiv it says in the pasuk, kein terimu gam Atem, says that so too you should go off and take off trumas, which the Gemara darshins, from the fact that it could have said Atem, and rather it writes Gam Atem, also you, what's also you, to come and to include your shluchim, your agents, where they could also take off the truma for you. Now, but it's comparing it to Atem, where it's comparing the agent to the one who's sending him in that pasuk to tell you, Ma'atem Yisrael, just like you, the person I'm talking to, I'm giving the mitzvah of Truma, are the Jewish people. So Gam, that's including the Shliach Av Shluchachem Yisrael, so too the agent has to be a Jew. Now, therefore says Rabbi Lazar, from that exclusion, you could exclude also an Eved, who even if he's coming to take up the Truma of a Jewish person with permission, who is being appointed as the agent, he will not be valid. So therefore ask Rabbi Lazar, why are you saying that an Eved would not be valid as a shliach by Gittin? Because he's not in halacha of Gittin Kedushin, but it sounds like from your words, but if he was in halacha of whatever you're discussing, for example, by Truma, then he would be able to be a shliach, because there's nothing flawed in his agency, just in having to be in that halacha itself. But I'll disprove that, because where do we learn that halacha of shliach is from? We learn that from by Truma, where there it tells us that actually even a non-Jew, or seemingly an Eved, is the same thing, where as long as he's not a full-fledged Jew, that then, even though he is in the halacha of Truma, he's not going to be a valid shliach. So therefore, how can you say that an Eved would be a shliach by Truma, and you're only saying by Gittin Kedushin because he's not Betarius Gittin Kedushin? So the Gemara answers, Amri Deber Abiyana, I know that the yeshiva Abiyana said, Loi. That's not precisely the drasha that we exclude a non-Jew and a kuti from there. Rather, the drasha is, not Atem Yisrael, which yes, that would exclude an Eved, rather Ma'atem B'nei Beris. When we're saying that, when we're comparing the Shliach to the Shoyleach in Gam Atem, that your agent has to be like you, it's saying just like you are people of the covenant who are circumcised and you enter the Bris of Mitzvahs, Av Shluchachem B'nei Beris. Also, your agents have to be people of the covenant, which that, yes, it excludes a non-Jew, but an Eved, a slave, is a person of the covenant, as the pasuk says in Devarim Chavtes, Mechayte v'itzecha atshoiv me'mecha, which there took upon themselves the bris, which includes even the slaves who were they with the wood choppers and the water carriers. And therefore, the interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan is correct, the only reason why an Eved cannot be a Shliach by getting in Kedush, by getting, is only because he's not Betoyras getting in Kedushin. But something that he does qualify for, like Truma, he actually would be a valid Shliach, and therefore the only thing we're excluding from there are Akum and Kuti, that they're not even Benevirus. Now, similar like we to that halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, the Gemara brings now this time from Amr B'chibur, Abba Amr Rabbi Yechanan, the same halacha, but it adds on another piece, which the Gemara is going to discuss that addition. Rabbi Yechanan said, "Ein ha'evin nasa shlich lekabel get isha miyad baila." Again, a slave cannot become an agent to receive the get of a woman from her husband, which again, as Rashi pointed out, would be the same way taking the get from the husband, that he can't be, just like he can't receive it from the husband. Because he's not in the halacha of getting kedushin, therefore he can't be a shliach for that halacha. Now this halacha continues as follows. Now says Rabbi Yechanan, this is in spite of the fact that we learned the brayse in Masechtas Tamura. If a master tells his maidservant, "Look, hareyat shivcha, you will remain my maidservant, but uvladcha ben chayrin, your child is a free man." Now that says the brayse im haisu ubra. If the child at that point in time, when the master was giving her this get shichur, if her child was a fetus, then zachsalai, then the mother, the maidservant, it merits it for the fetus by receiving the get, and the child actually becomes emancipated, and the child, her child, will not be a slave. That's what the brisa says. And therefore, Bichlan says, in spite of that brisa, my halacha is correct. Which the Gemara wonders, my imhaisa ubra zachsalai. What exactly do the two halachas have in common? In other words, what does the shichrur, the emancipation of the fetus, have to do with the first half of Yechanan's statement regarding the get of a woman through the agency of a slave? Where Yechanan is saying, he's saying, don't worry, even though the Braisa tells us regarding the maidservant being a shliach for her fetus, what does that mean? Of course, the mother could be a shliach for the fetus because she is in the halacha of shichur herself, that she could be a shliach for her fetus. How does that contradict? Actually, it goes very well with the first halacha. The first halacha is saying, look, the eved can't be a shliach for the get of isha because he's not an halacha of getting, so he can't be a shliach for that. Fine. Why is that contradicted to say, even though we learned that the mother could be a shliach for her fetus to receive the get from her master? Of course, because she is b'teira shichur. She is in a halach of getting shichur, so she could be a shliach for a fetus. What does afa pesha sheninu? So the Gemara concedes and says, ki asr av shmu ba Yehuda amar. Says, actually, Rabbi Yechanan tarti amar. Rabbi Yechanan was saying two different halachas. One was the halacha of a get of a woman, and they're related, but they're actually two different halachas. One is about an eved cannot be a shliach for the get of a isha, because he's not b'teiras getting kedushin. Then there was another halacha that he said, and it's on that other halacha that he was saying, afal pi. Now, what's this other halacha? So that's what the Gemara explains. Rabbi Yechanan said his second halacha was, nirim dvarim, it would seem, shua eved mekabel get, that a slave could receive a get shichru, lichaveri, for his fellow slave, miad rabbi shel chaveri, from the hand of the master of his friend slave, who's not his own master. Now, the reason being, and this actually works very well in tandem with the first halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, since a slave himself is in the halacha of shichur, so he could also be a shliach for shichur, which would be for his friend slave from his master. Avol, but that's Rabbi Yechanan says, loy miyad rabbi shaloi, but not from his own master. In other words, if let's say two slaves were slaves from the same man, with their, he cannot be a shliach for the shichur of his friend. Now, the reason being is because there's a halacha that's called yad eved ki yad rabbi. The hand of a slave is like the hand of his master. Whatever slave gets, since he's owned by the master, is like the master already acquired it. Now, therefore, the problem would be, when he would get the get from his master, it wouldn't be going out of the master's domain. It would, like, the master would be giving it from his right hand to his left hand, because his slave's hands is like his own hands. Now, Rashi addresses the point. Now, although the halacha is that an eved could receive his own get, that's for a different reason. That's known from the halachic principle of gita v'yadoi boim ke'echad, where, yeah, his get and his own yad to receive the get, because then it would be considered leaving his master's domain, happen at the same time. because since he's being emancipated, that means to say I have my own hands, so therefore I can receive my own get, and it's like it left your domain, the master, to my hands, the slave. Where that's only when it's his own emancipation. But for his fellow slave, where he's still a slave of the master, his hands are like the master's hands. So he can't go ahead and be the shliach for this fellow slave to receive it from the master, because it's like the master putting it from his right hand to his left hand, where that can't go ahead and emancipate the fellow slave. That was Rabbi Yochanan's second halacha. Now, this is what he was addressing. Now, ve'im lachshach adam, now, if someone's going to whisper in your ears and ask you, and leimer to say, wait a second, that even from his own master, he should be able to receive a get for his fellow slave, because zu halacha shnuya, similarly, this is the same thing as a brisa that we learned, where the brisa tells us that if a master gives to his maidservant and tells her that, look, you're going to remain a slave to me, but I want you to receive the get for your fetus, where the brisa said, if her child was a fetus, zachsolai, that she has merited for her fetus. So therefore the questioner would be asking you and saying, wait a second, you see that this maidservant could receive a get for another slave, meaning her fetus, from her own master, and yet her fetus is divorced. And that is what Rabbi Yochanan was addressing and saying, Amalai, you could tell that questioner, Shnei Gedoyle Hadar Pirshas Adavar. Two Torah giants already explained this. They're Reb Zera, Reb Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, but between the two of them, they explain why that's not a difficulty. Because Chadama, one of them said, Hamani, who's the town of the Braisa? Rebihi. It's going like Rabbi Dama that he says, Hamashachar Chatzi Avdei Kana, if someone emancipates half his slave, the slave has acquired half of himself, meaning emancipation works halfway and he's already half free. The Chad Amar, now the other one of these two Gedei Ladar, added and explained and complemented the second half, which will explain and resolve the questioner, is that my time of the Rebbe Baha, what's the reason of Rebbe that he says that regarding this halacha, because what does that mean? How does it apply to this Brisa, so going like Rebbe? Here it's not a half a Eved, it's two different bodies. It's the mother who's receiving it for the slave, for her fetus. How does that help by saying you can emancipate half a slave? Oh, because Ksavar Uba Yerech Imayhu. He holds that a fetus is considered like the thigh of the mother. In other words, the fetus is like half of a woman, it's part of the woman's body. Oh, Venasa Kemisha Hiknala Echad Mevira. That's why when the master gives her the get for her fetus, it's like he said, I want to emancipate one of your limbs, because that's what a fetus is in comparison to the mother. And that's why it's not difficult according to the second halacha of Rabbi Yochanan, because we're saying that really a slave cannot receive for another slave from the same master. What's the case of shifcha for her child? That's because it's like emancipating half a slave, which that could happen. And that's because going like Rabbi A, that you could emancipate half a slave. And moreover, that he holds that ubi yerech imoy, and therefore the fetus is considered like half or part of the mother, and that's why it's going to work. But in general, it's not going to work when it's two different slaves and the same master. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding who could bring the get from the husband to the woman to divorce her. So the Mishnah tells us, Af anashim she'enon lemonis leimer meis baila, even these following women, who are not trustworthy, they're not believed to say, now although generally you have one witness coming and even a woman could say that, look, I'm sorry, your husband died, and then she'll be free to go out and marry someone else. These women are actually not believed to say that the woman's husband died because they hate her. They actually want to mess her up and he's actually still alive and they want to get married to someone else and then the husband's going to come back and she's going to be forbidden to both of the husbands and to totally mess her up. So they're not believed, but says the Mishnah, Nemanis Lehevias Kita. They are trustworthy and believed regarding bringing her get from her husband to the woman that this is a valid get and to bring it and that she will be divorced. Who are these women? Chamaisa, it's her mother-in-law. Ubas Chamaisa, it's her mother-in-law's daughter, which is her sister-in-law. Mitzarasa, and her co-wife, which means that when the man is married to more than one wife. Now, all these women are explained in Masechtas Yevamos, again, as we said, because they hate her and they want to mess her up. Therefore, they're not believed to testify that the husband died, but again, they're trustworthy regarding the get. The Yevimta, which, what does it mean, her Yevama? It means to say her husband's brother's wife. Now, that woman, who's also her sister-in-law, hates her. Why does she hate her? because she's afraid that maybe either one of their husbands are going to die without any children. Then, whichever one of them had their husbands died without any children is going to be married by the other one's husband. Then they're going to be co-wives, which they're rivals, and they hate each other because they're competing for their husband's attention. So already now she hates her. Ubas Baila and her husband's daughter, her stepdaughter, all these women hate her. They want to mess her up. So they're not believed regarding saying the husband died. But when they're bringing the get, then they're believed, which the Gemara addresses, mobbing it lemisa. What is the difference between a get and misa? Why by when they testify that he's dead, they're not believed, but when they bring the get, they are trustworthy that this is a kosher get? So that the Mishnah says, shaksab mechiach, because by the testimony when he's dead, all that they're relying on are her testimony. She might be making this up. But here, the writing of the get proves that what she's saying is should be true, because here we have a seemingly kosher get with witnesses on it. So therefore then, in those cases, we believe those women, and they could go ahead and be the deliverers of the get to the woman. Now, moreover, the Mishnah tells us, Ha'isha atzma mevias gita. The woman herself could bring her own get from her husband, let's say overseas, to Eretz Yisrael. U'bavat she tzricha lo'im b'fanechem, as long as she herself, where she was not being given it as the receipt, the husband wanted her to only be divorced when she gets over there, so on some level she's like a shlich le'loch herself, as long as she says in front of me was written, in front of me was signed, then she could go ahead and deliver her own get to herself when she brings it from Medina Siyam to Eretz Yisrael. Now the Gemara asks, that's seemingly contradicting the halacha of our Mishnah, but Tanya Lina Braisa that says, K'shem she'enem onis le'me meis baile, just like these women that we counted of the mother-in-law, the mother-in-law's daughter, the tzara, the yavama, and her husband's daughter, these five women, just like they're not believed to say that the husband died, kach ein nemanis levi gita, so do they not believed to bring the get, and yet our Mishnah says that they are. Some of you, so he says, loy kasher, this is not a contradiction. Kan ba'aretz, our Mishnah is talking about where the get is actually being brought in Eretz Yisrael, where the women don't have to say b'fani nachtav or b'fani nachtam, whereas kan b'chutz la'aretz, the Brice is talking about when they're bringing it from chutz la'aretz, as the Gemara explains. Ba'aretz the lavadi burdi doka samchinan in Eretz Yisrael, where we're not relying on anything that she's saying. She's not saying anything. In Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to say b'fani nachtav, you just bring the get, you're just like a robot. So then mehemna, then they're believed because they're not doing anything. All they're doing is like what anyone else would do. It's called a maisa kaif, you're just like a machine bringing it. So good, then they're trustworthy. But the chutzlar it's not the bur didoka samchina, but an outside of Eretz Yisrael, where then, oh, we're not just relying on the get, because there are certain halachas that we need to verify with the testimony of the shliach, by saying before the nechtem and nechtem, then le mehemna, that's what the Braisa says, that they're not trustworthy, they're not believed, because you have to rely on them, and they might be making something up, because they hate this woman. Now, not only Abaya asked on Rabbi Yisrael, he says, no, Adraba. Ibcha Mistabi says, to the contrary, the logic would be going the other way around. And says Abaya, Ba'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael, di'i asi bal ma'ar, if the husband later comes and contests the validity of the get, and he says, I didn't write this get, mashkechinan bay, then we pay attention to his what he's contesting, because when it's being brought in Eretz Yisrael, it's not validated in the courts, because the shliach doesn't say b'fan nechtem nechtem, because we could always have it validated later on by witnesses, but ultimately it's not validated yet. Where the ikla meim likel kula kumachavna, whereby it says, then you could say that maybe the woman's trying to mess up this woman, because the husband could contest, and if we can't find witnesses, where although generally you could, but it could be a problem for her. Then says Abaye loy mehemna. In there it's Yisrael she should not be believed. Because there, because she does not say b'fan nechtem nechtem, and therefore it's not totally validated the get, then we shouldn't believe her because she might be trying to bother and mess up the woman. But b'chutz la'aretz, to the contrary, however, says Abaye, but when it's being brought from out of Eretz Yisrael, where this woman, let's say her mother-in-law, has to say b'fan nechtem, which that is already the validation of the get, if the husband comes at a later point in time and contests it, he's not believed. Then says Abaye Mehemna, then actually we should believe the woman because, what do you mean? She already said b'fanei nechtem, already makes it kosher. Even if the husband contests it, we're not going to pay attention to him. We consider it kosher and she's not going to get messed up. So therefore says Abaye, the exact opposite of Rabbi Yisrael. Says in Eretz Yisrael we should not believe her, but in Chutz La'aretz where she's already validating it and there's no problems that could come out of it, we do believe her. Now that the Gemara says, actually, Tanya Kappa said that by you have a Braisa that seemingly says like a Abaye's interpretation. The Braisa says the following halacha. Shimon ben Elazar Oymer Mishum Rebbe Akiva says, one of the halachas that we said in our Mishnah, Isha nemenes lehevi gita. He says that a woman's trustworthy, she's believed to bring her own get. Now, he says, where do we know this from? He says, Mikal Vochemer. We know from Mikal Vochemer. What's the Kal Vochemer? So he says, related to the other halacha of our Mishnah, which is the one that we're discussing now. Now, if regards to those five women, which our sages say they're not believed to say that the husband died, they are believed, however, to bring the get itself. So she herself, the woman herself, who is believed to say generally that if her husband died, to come to court and say my husband died, she is believed. So isn't she believed then to bring her get? Because in those cases where they're not even believed to say meis baila, yet they're believed to bring the get. Here she's believed to say meis baila, for sure she's believed to bring her own get. Now, however, the logic continues as we continue on the topic of Dal Man Alf, but a memakim shebasa. However, there's a qualification. Since you're learning out the halacha that a woman could bring her own get from those five women, so you have to extend it all the way. And you have to say that ma'ala halan, just like over there by those five women, they have to say in front of us it was written in front of us, it was signed, because any shleach that's bringing has to say b'fanei nechtav. So to the woman herself, even though she's the woman herself that's being divorced, but if she's coming in the halachic framework as a shliach, she also has to then say, in front of me it was written, in front of me it was signed. That's the halach of the b'raisa. But what one thing that we see from this b'raisa is that just like over there, regarding the halacha of the women who hate her, which we're saying that they're believed, and we're saying that how are they believed, and they have to say b'fanei nechtam, so obviously we see that the halacha of these five women that are believed is talking about when they're bringing it from Chutz La'aretz, which is like Abaya. Because according to Rabbi Yosef, actually, he said they're not believed from Chutz La'aretz. He said they only believe in Eretz Yisrael. From this brisa, seemingly you see clearly, like Abaya's interpretation, that we're saying, just like those five women who are believed have to say before the nechdem, which is only when they're being brought from Chutz La'aretz, so the woman herself has to say that. So obviously we see that the case is talking about Chutz La'aretz, they are believed because no problems could happen, like Abaya said, but in Eretz Yisrael, actually, they would not be believed. And that's the resolution of the contradiction between our Mishnah and the Braisa. Ravashi says, Masnit Namendeka. And Ravashi says, not only do we have a Braisa supporting Abaya, but our Mishnah seems to be precisely like Abaya too. Because the Tanya learned in the Mishnah, Heisha Atzma Meviyagit. We said the woman herself brings her get. And our Mishnah itself said, as long as the woman herself says, so Shemam, no, we can infer from there that that's what the cases in our Mishnah are talking about also, when it's being brought from Chutz La'aretz. That's why the woman herself has to say before the Nechtav and Nechtav, and therefore seemingly the same thing would apply to those five women, that when are they believed, as our Mishnah says, is when they're coming from Chutz La'aretz, which is like Abaya said, not like Rav Yosef, who said they're not believed when they're bringing it from Chutz La'aretz. Now, the Gemara asks, what comes out, Rav Yosef, how does he explain the Mishnah? What comes out, according to him, Reisha v'seifa b'chutz la'aretz. The Reisha, meaning we refer to the Reisha as the previous Mishnah of Chav Gimel Med Aleph, which said everyone's kosher to bring a get, where the Gemara explained must be talking about that it's being brought from Chutz La'aretz, from the fact that it says a Suma is Pasul, which we explained in Rav Yosef had explained, that that's talking about only because they can't say b'fanei nechtav, and that's only if it's being brought from Chutz La'aretz. So the Reisha is talking about when the get that we're talking about that's being brought is from Chutz La'aretz. The Seifa, which is the woman herself of our Mishnah, who she able to bring her own get, also is Tomat from Chutz La'aretz, because it's saying as long as she says B'fanei Nechtav, which only applies to being brought from Chutz La'aretz. Now, Mitziyasa, however, according to Rav Yosef, comes out, but the middle case, regarding that we're talking about, however, the five women that hate her, that are believed, Rav Yosef said must be Tomat Ba'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael, because that's how he explained the resolution of the contradiction from the Braisa and the Mishnah, where they're not believed from Chutz La'aretz, but when they are believed, which is the halacha our Mishnah is talking about, is in Eretz Yisrael. So interestingly, it comes out, the Reisha and the Seifa, when we're talking about bringing the get, is talking about in Eretz Yisrael, is for talking about Chutz La'aretz, but the middle case that's between the two is talking about in Eretz Yisrael. So I think Gemara answers, and yes, that's how it's going to come out according to Rabbi Yosef. Reisha v'Seifa b'Chutz La'aretz, and Mitziyasa b'Aretz. Now, the Gemara asks, Mimai, what would force Rabbi Yosef to say that, where seemingly they should all have the same pattern, either all in Chutz La'aretz, all in Eretz Yisrael. So that the Gemara answers, Midik Tani. From the fact that we learned, Ma ben get lemisa, the Mishnah says, what's the difference between get and misa? Why are these five women believed by get, but not by misa? So the Mishnah said, Shahaksav Meichiach. Because the writing tells us, it proves that she's not lying, because look, here is a get. Versus when she's just saying testimony, she might have made the whole thing up. Now says Rabbi Yisiv, V'leiketon Shahaksav Upe Meichiach. And it doesn't say, oh, the reason why the get is different is because you have the writing and her words that are proving what she said. Meaning, it doesn't sound like it's going on being brought from Chutz La'aretz, which you would have Peh, which would have to say B'fanenech, B'fanenechtem, which that would say that that's different than the case of Eidus by Misa. Therefore, Rabbi says, it must be the case is talking about, like I said, yes, that the Mitzias, the middle case of the five women, is talking about that they're bringing in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore there's only Ksav. But because it was like a Baya that's being brought from Chutz La'aretz, it would have said, Shahaksav Upeh Meichiach, the writing of the get and her words would prove that what she's saying is true. However, as Rashi explains, according to Abaya, the Mishnah didn't have to say, and therefore it's no proof from Rav Yisiv, Ksav Upeh, because actually what the Mishnah is trying to say is that, yeah, both of them have Peh. You have the Peh by Misa, when the woman says, these five women say that the husband died, and then you have the Peh of Get, which she says, B'fanenechtem, because it is from Chutz La'aretz. And that's what the Mishnah was addressing. What's the difference between Peh of Get to the Peh of Misa? That's what the Mishnah answers, because the Ksav is Meichiach, the writing of the Get that you have with the Peh, because that was the given in the Mishnah's question. What's the difference between the Peh of Get and the Peh of Misa? That's what the answer is, because besides the Peh of Get, you also have the writing of the Get, which proves more than just her words, that what she's saying is true, and that's why it's no Raya, as Rashi explains from Rav Yisiv against Abaya, but that's what Rav Yisiv holds. He says it should have said Ksav Peh. That's why it must be the case to Tumah in Eretz Yisrael, and that's how he resolves the contradiction between the Brayse and the Mishnah, where they're believed in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz, versus Abaya holds that no, they only believe in the Chutz La'aretz and not in Eretz Yisrael, as we have proof from a Brayse, and similarly support from our Mishnah. And although it says Ksav Meichiach means Ksav Upeh, it just didn't have to mention the Peh, because that was part of the question of what's the difference between the Peh of Get and the Peh of Misa.